I call the meeting to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 3, roll call.
John Steinbrink.
Here.
Monica Juhas.
Here.
Steve Kmorkowitz.
Here.
Clyde Allen.
Here.
Mike Serpy.
Here.
Item 4, minutes of the meetings for February 18, 2013, presented to board members in written form.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Monica, second by Clyde. Any additions, corrections? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. Item 5, citizens' comments.
Dick Jankowski.
Good evening, Dick Jankowski, 7251 First Avenue. First, a note of appreciation for our village crews that put up with several snowstorms recently. All I can say is, as I said many times, in my neighborhood, we know exactly where the city limits are. Because you can look at the road and it's in much different condition than the villages. But on a more serious point tonight, I want the board to be aware of some pending legislation that may be of interest to not only this village, but probably to the League of Municipalities, spearheaded by Representative Jim Ott. There are proposed changes in the drunken driving law that may affect municipalities. Essentially, right now, first offense OWI cases are handled, are civil forfeitures. If there is a city, village, or town that has a municipal court, it goes to the municipal court. And like any other first offense municipal violation or municipal ordinance violation, if the sheriff's department or the state patrol writes the ticket, that goes to circuit court, but it's still civil forfeiture. Proposed changes would come up with a hybrid system that some first offenses would be forfeitures, some would be crimes, and basically no one wants to speak in any way that sounds like you are weak on the subject of going after drunk drivers. By all means, we should be aggressive in enforcement. Flip side of that, though, is that this law may create more problems than it solves. We either send all the cases to circuit court, and our circuit court's already overloaded, or keep it the way it is and increase the ability of municipal courts to deal with it. But setting off, for example, now I believe it would be a 0.15 or 0.17, whatever the cutoff would be, some cases would go to municipal courts, some would go into circuit court as crimes, and of course you're going to have a situation there where plea bargaining may go to try to deal with what the actual numbers will be. You may have differing test results. I could go on and on, but basically it's not a good situation. And I think it's something that if you're not in contact with the League of Wisconsin Municipalities to be following that along with the Counties Association, they should be tracking that legislation because it may have significant impact both on public safety and also on city, village, town, and county operations. Thank you.
Thank you.
There were no additional sign-ups.
Anyone else wishing to speak? Hearing none, I'm going to close citizens' comments. Move on to item 6, administrator's report.
Nothing tonight, Mr. President.
Nothing there. Move on to item 7, presentation by Gateway Technical College regarding its referendum on the April 2nd, 2013 spring election ballot. And I believe we have a representative here.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Debbie Davidson. I serve as the Vice President for Workforce Economic Development at Gateway Technical College. I've been with the college for about 11 years now, and it's my pleasure to address you tonight to talk a little bit about Gateway's upcoming referendum, their proposal. We have over a 100-year tradition of delivering skills training and high-quality education that leads to careers throughout Kenosha, Racine, and Walworth County. And I'm going to present to you the components of a $49 million referendum, the financial impact on the community and the college, and provide some anticipated outcomes. The proposal advances our strategic plan, Vision 321. 321 stands for 3 counties, 2 centuries, 1 vision, which focuses on academic initiatives, workforce development, and next-generation facilities. Give you some background information. Some of these items you may already know. Gateway serves more than 22,000 students annually, and we have a local economic impact of over $339 million annually based on education modeling systems data available in 2006. We've grown approximately 29% since 2008, and we provide training to more than 2,000 high school students as well, striving to meet the skilled needs, training needs of our community. The mission of the college is to collaborate to ensure economic growth and viability by providing education, training, leadership, and technological resources to meet the changing needs of students, employers, and communities, which is what this referendum proposal hopes to continue. The community needs, the way that we have determined what the community needs are through interviews and study sessions with both business and industry partners. We looked at the program needs assessments of what we currently offer in Kenosha, Racine, and Walworth counties. We did a facilities review, which balanced student needs and community growth, and then reviewed the balance of county needs and facility quality and capacity so we could determine where is the best place to locate some of the new academic initiatives that we're talking about or expand other ones. Currently, this map shows where Gateway campuses are located. Some of them are full-service campuses. Walworth County, the lone purple dot up there, is our Elkhorn campus. The Kenosha campus and the Bioscience Center are the rust-colored and yellow dots. And then in Racine County, the purple dot is the Racine campus on the lake. The other locations are advanced technology centers, which are not full-service campuses, meaning they do not have student services and admissions staff within those locations. Our proposal is broken down into three categories, the first being direct support for academic programs, academics, indirect support for academics through student services, and academic support services, and then projects which will cover the entire district. Throughout the presentation, we'll hear about the need and benefits of each component, all focusing on flexibility, efficiency, and capacity. You'll hear the terms growth, expansion, repurposing, and new and improved technologies as well. In the academic programming area, we start with our Elkhorn South building. We would be looking at rebuilding a building, adding new programs, updating some labs, adding a student commons, and a conference room within that area. In the center of the district, at the center of Racine, Kenosha, and Walworth County, a public safety training center. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. At our Racine campus, adding a freshwater resources lab. We currently have a freshwater resource program that aligns with UWM and UW Parkside, and then also adding classrooms and staff offices at Racine. And in Kenosha, it would be our interior design and barbering labs. In the middle section, the student access and retention, we recently updated our student services in Elkhorn and Racine campus. We are now hoping to do that with the Kenosha Student Service Center remodel and expansion and create a new learning success center and expanding our bookstore. Those project pieces that would affect the entire district and deal with energy efficiency and infrastructure, HVAC, automated building controls and lighting retrofits throughout the district, and then the administration center, the relocation of some district administrative functions into that one administration center, which is located in Kenosha at the Kenosha campus. So the project overview for academics, Public Safety Training Center, which touches the lives of every one of our residents across the three counties. We would be looking at land purchase and improvements, an emergency vehicle operations course, a simulated city, an indoor pistol and firing range. That would be the main gist of the Public Safety Training Center. And then renovating our Racine campus. On the Public Safety Training Center, we are looking at a total of $11.6 million for construction, $4 million for equipment for a total of $15.6 million for the Public Service Training Center. Looking to purchase the land in the center of the district, which would have a 30,000-square-foot classroom and tactical lab facility, an EVOC track. Currently, we're doing that at the former Dairyland Greyhound dog track, and that may not be available in the future. It's also inadequate for scenarios that are needed for our trainers. And would allow much-needed improvement in vehicle pursuit training and allow for nighttime driving as well. We'll provide dedicated space for motorcycle training, which we have moved to a couple different locations. Most recently, Snap-on's parking lot has been provided to us for some motorcycle training. It would also allow us to have an indoor pistol range and rifle range. Currently, we have four booths in the basement of the Kenosha campus. If you've been on the Kenosha campus, it used to be called our trade and industry wing, where we had welding and automotive. We now have renewable energy labs there, and the firing range is in the basement. We would be able to put 24 students in the class and have 12 new booths at this new training center. The current range has issues with air quality, safety, and lead abatement. We would include an outdoor shooting range, allowing for better training with movement and dynamic situations. Small-scale Sim City would provide facility for collaboration with fire and EMS students to train together. Real-life scenarios, fire trucks, ambulances, police cars, all together, and we would have a garage in that facility as well. It would provide the ability to do ongoing training, professional development, and specialty training demanded by incumbent public safety departments, as well as increased capacity for the current law enforcement academy at Gateway. A forensic lab would allow for training in the identification, collection, and processing of evidence, firearms and rifle instructor training, crisis intervention training, and using squad cars in shooting situations. So that's kind of wraps up everything on the Public Safety Training Center. The Racine campus, you'll see the fresh water program and faculty office space, construction of $1.7 million, equipment $750,000 for a total of $2.5 million for the Racine campus. Currently, that fresh water program is sharing space at our IMET Center in Sturtevant, and so this would provide dedicated space and increase our capacity. Fresh water programs are for everything from wastewater to water quality, a number of different industries which were identified through a Department of Labor grant a number of years ago and included the Milwaukee 7. We would move that to the Racine campus on Lake Michigan water source. It would be the second floor of our technical building, and we would use space that had been vacated by our apprenticeship program, which moved to the IMET Center. Faculty office space is in the Lincoln Building. If you're not familiar with the Racine campus, or maybe you've driven past it, it's a building that looks like it's on stilts. It's actually in the park. It's an old building and is part of the historical register. So compliance with building codes and improved working and learning environment as we repurpose that into office space. It cannot be turned into classroom space. On the Elkhorn campus, the expansion proposed for Walworth County will increase capacity and provide new training opportunities for careers in demand in Walworth County. The project involves remodeling the south building and rebuilding with an additional 22,000 square feet, which would double the size of that building, and repurpose it for new programs. We're starting a new veterinary technician program and food manufacturing labs. These would be two new programs. We'd bring to Elkhorn three campus programs that are located only in Racine. They are manufacturing, so computer numerical machine operators. We are responding to the need, the ongoing need from employers for skilled manufacturing technicians. Also, a cosmetology and culinary arts program, which would open up at the Elkhorn campus. We have both of those at the Racine campus. Those would respond to the needs of the tourism industry in Walworth County. Expansion of a welding lab, and then updating the conferencing space in that location as well. For the Kenosha campus, we would create interior designs lab and studio space, which would be new. This creates additional experiential learning space and puts the interior design program near alternative energy to provide collaboration and improve the visibility and enrollment in the program. Currently, we have a world-class instructional, and we have a great student club in interior design that goes to national competitions and wins. Right now, they are located in two very small classrooms that are tucked away on the second floor. This would give them much more space, which keeps in line with what industry is asking for. Also create a barber lab space. In the past, barbering and cosmetology has been one program, has now split to two programs, and so we would need additional lab space for that. Student access and retention, we would renovate and expand the Kenosha campus and create a student learning area. The project creates uniformity and delivers the Gateway experience where we want all campuses to provide efficiency. And we implemented this in December 2012 on the Racine campus, and we hope to do the same on the Kenosha campus. Elkhorn is complete. Energy efficiency and infrastructure, we would be looking at $5 million for the first three items listed there, HVAC, automated building controls, and lighting retrofits, $2 million in construction, and $250,000 equipment for the administration center. So the total for this district-wide and energy efficiency would be $7.25 million. The administration center will allow repurposing of space in the Madrigano Center. We have hundreds of local groups that use the Mondragano Center as their meeting location for conferences, workshops, seminars, and so on. It's highly used, so what we would like to do is move our marketing and print shop department out of Mondragano Center into the administration center so that it is closer to staff that use those services, and that will free up floor space for us within the Mondragano Center. I did have a video, but you don't have the right software to run it, so I can leave it with you, and if you're able to access it, you can access it at another time. It's also available on our website. So the anticipated outcomes, what we would do, an increase in the number of graduates per year by 15%, and graduates at Gateway typically stay and work within the region. Any of the programs and jobs that we offer at Gateway are due to what employers and local industry and organizations are telling us their needs are. An estimated $54 million annual earnings gain in the regional economy as well. That includes earnings generated from construction. We're figuring 400 to 600 total, 200 to 300 construction workers at any given time. So why a referendum? Gateway has not done a referendum since the 1970s. So in order for us to add and expand educational programs in response to community needs, this plan is put together in order to meet those needs. We do not have the resources to expand programs into new areas or do the much-needed renovations to our campuses. And the trustees of the college believe in the people's voice and are bringing this question to the community. It also builds on our success. 96% of our graduates are satisfied with their education, and 87% of them are employed within 6 months after graduation. 97% of those employers are satisfied with the quality of the graduates. 74% are employed in the Tri-County region, and you'll see the median salary of new graduates is $32,258. You'll see that information is from the 2011 graduate study. Our most recent survey, we had 2,308 associate degree and technical diploma graduates in 2011. We had a response rate of 78% on that graduate follow-up study. So the bottom line on why we're doing this. The mission is to address the regional workforce needs of our district, and this proposal is in line with our mission. Increasing our capacity to deliver skills training will mean more graduates that stay in the community, to provide strong workforce needed to grow our regional economy. There are state regulations that limit the amount the college can spend every 2 years in each county. The referendum will allow us to meet the needs immediately. And so the question will be on the ballot on April 2nd, and we are asking the question of our community. Any questions?
Mike?
A very good presentation, Debbie, and I totally support the efforts of Gateway. Just a question on the law enforcement center. Mm-hmm. That's going to be quite large and very well needed, mm-hmm. and I think we would support that wholeheartedly. My question is, do we have an idea of where it's going to be located?
We have been approached by every county with land. I think currently there are 5 different sites that are being looked at, and it seems that we gain new sites every week. There's other land, vacant land, that is coming to our attention. So
I understand. Yeah, I understand.
We have not ruled any out. We are in the process of doing some fact-finding, looking at what the infrastructure is there, what is the accessibility to broadband, which would be critical to us operating the center. So those are the things that are being taken into consideration.
And I'm sure you're taking into consideration the amount of law enforcement that are east of the interstate between Racine and Pleasant Prairie,
right.
which
mm-hmm.
amounts to probably 500
mm-hmm.
or more.
Right.
I hope serious consideration is given for the purpose of travel and expense, overtime, you name it, on
Absolutely.
Where this facility is going to be at.
Absolutely.
Be nice if it was somewhere
right.
close.
Thank you.
And good luck.
Yeah. The locations are all over that 3-county district map, so I can't say that they're all out to the west or they're east. They really are scattered about. So we're investigating them to find out where do we have the like I said, the best infrastructure, the best access to it, and available land so that as we build this and we think long-term about growth, that we'd be able to expand. But thank you.
What amount of land and what size? For this facility?
I think most of what we've been looking at in land is probably in the 10 to 20 acre frame. Let's just take a look if we have that here. We don't. We talk about the square footage of the building, but not the overall size of the piece of land.
Yeah. Okay. Other questions? If not, make sure you tell Brian the bigger turnout you had than
I will.
He turns out. So.
I will. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That brings us to item 8, new business. First item being item A, consider resolution 1305 authorizing the disposal of surplus vehicles.
Mr. President, members of the board, it's that time of year when you guys get to see the pictures of some of our prized vehicles that we do have. Obviously, we do keep them for, you know, as long as you possibly can. So we're looking at disposing of three different vehicles at this time. First one is a 1992 Ford Tandem Axle Dump Truck with 84,000 miles. 84,000 isn't a lot of miles. It's more of the hours and the age on the vehicle. Being just over 20 years old, it's definitely exceeded the useful life of it of its purpose. So we're asking for authorization to dispose of this. Second one that we have is a rear packer garbage truck. It's a 1996 Leach rear loader. We actually purchased this used when we started our solid waste back in 2005, and it was a used back then, and it's definitely extremely used right now. We have replaced it with another used rear packer truck, which we purchased out of Tampa, Florida, which is much nicer than this one, but this one has exceeded its useful life, and we do have a replacement for it, so we're asking for authorization for disposal. And the last one that we have is it's been recycled a couple times. It was an old squad car. I believe it was a detective's car. It's a 1994. Actually, it's a 2004. I apologize. It's a 2004 Dodge Intrepid, and then our IT department was using it. And with our fleet internal service, we have recently recycled some of them. But at 111,000 miles, it's exceeded its useful life. And we will be putting all these vehicles out to auction on March 16th, if authorized. I can answer any questions at this time.
Are you sure you can sell those?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and the auction company that we've been using, JJK, and has actually been getting us a really good price for a lot of our vehicles, a lot more than we would get just in the open market. And anyone is available to bid on them at the auction of Beloit if they so choose.
I was looking at that. The truck, yellow truck, is really worth very well beat that one, rusted.
Yeah, Kathy, make sure that we get all of our depreciation out of them.
Yeah. Move approval of resolution 1305.
Second.
Motion by Mike, second by Steve for adoption of resolution 1305. Any further discussion?
Good luck.
Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. Brings us to item B, consider resolution 1306. Approving the amendment 1 to the Community Development Block Grant Emergency Assistance Contract number 8-68.
Mr. President, this is an amendment to the CDBG grant, and this particular grant was used to construct the storm sewer in South Kenosha. And the funding source of this grant was such that to the extent that, you know, our project was coming in under budget and that there was other projects that had failed to go through the grant process, and or there was other, you know, municipalities that turned money back, we were able to pick up additional funds to expand that project and do some more stormwater work. So this is the resolution approving the amendment to the grant application. I recommend that the resolution be adopted as presented.
Do we have to open up the hearing again to expand the project?
Nope. Okay. There's no assessments. This project is paying for the total cost of the work that's involved.
I make a motion to pass resolution 1306.
Second. Motion by Steve, second by Clyde for adoption. 1306. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So carries. Brings us item C, the consent agenda with items 1 and 2.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Monica, second by Steve. Any discussion on either items 1 or 2? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So carries. Brings us to item 9, Village Board comments.
Move to adjourn.
Motion by Mike, second by Clyde for adjournment. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries.